For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good to have you with us. A couple of minutes after the top of the hour right here. Hour number two of a scheduled three. NFL draft starts Thursday night in Green Bay. Of course, at the top, as we were just talking about it, the Giants with an interesting choice. Could it come down to Abdul Carter or Shedeur Sanders? Could it come down to Travis Hunter? We will see. But Abdul Carter is one of the, well, is the top, well, he's the top full-time defensive player. Let's put it that way, because Travis Hunter's pretty damn good as well. Cam Ward expected to go number one. And joining us right now is Jay Paterno. Of course, you know that name very well. Jay was on with us during the college football playoff, did a tremendous job. He's got a book out called Blitz, the All-Out Pressure of College Football. You can check him out on TV, Nittany Game Week, and on Twitter/X at Jay Paterno. And he's with us here in the District of Columbia. Jay, it's Chris Russell again. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Great. Doing great. And great to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you with us. All right. So let's get to it right away, because, you know, as we were just mentioning, a couple of top prospects coming out of Penn State, but specifically in that top three. Abdul Carter is a what in your eyes? Fill in the blank for me. Is he a freak? Is he a warrior? Is he just really damn good? How do you view Abdul Carter?
Probably all of the above. No, I think the thing about Abdul Carter is, you know, he only moved to edge this year. And I don't think he got his first sack till week three or four, whatever it was. But you could see him really take off as the season went on, as he got in the Big Ten schedule. So when you look at him, the scary thing about him, as highly rated as he is, he has 1 year at edge, which means there is still tremendous upside for him as a rush end guy. Plus, having been a stand-up linebacker for 2 years, he gives you some versatility in that you could put him up as a stand-up linebacker against the run or blitz him and get him on running backs one-on-one in pass protection. So he doesn't have to be that guy that just stands on the left side and now your best offensive tackle is going to try and match up and take him. He can go, and you can move him all over the place. So he's a scary prospect in that he hasn't even reached his full potential in that position yet.
When you compare him to somebody, you often hear Micah Parsons. Is that who you would compare him to?
Yeah, that's probably, very similar size. Both guys started out as stand-up linebackers who became edge rushers. If you look at a guy like LeVar Arrington who played at Penn State, if he was coming out now, we probably would have moved him to an edge rusher as well during his college career, because that position now, what guys that are those 255-pound linebackers have figured out is the money is at the edge, not at linebacker. Much like, you know, that's where people are investing. Because if you look at what the Eagles just did in the Super Bowl, and I know for Commanders fans that's not what you want to hear, but what the Eagles just did, they won that game because of pass rush. And that's the best way to neutralize that big-time quarterback is pass rush. and everybody's going to put their money where their mouth is.
You mentioned what they would have done with LeVar, and got to work with LeVar for a couple of years here.
Yep.
So I know him pretty well, and I've heard a lot of stories about his time in Happy Valley. But as you mentioned, what the trend is, right? And of course, yep, we know how much pass rush is. How much has the athletic traits, the traits that you have to have, how much has that changed in college football and now into the NFL as that position metamorphosis, if you will, has changed? Is it about learning how to close, or is it something else? Is it twitchiness? How do you describe that, Jay?
I think the first two or three steps on those guys are vital. We used to do, when we did 40-yard times at Penn State, you know, we would do it electronically. So we'd get a 10-yard time,
right,
a 20-yard time, and then a 20-40. For the pass rush guys, that 10-yard time was critical. For your wideouts, the 10-yard time was certainly important, but what we call a delta time, your 20-40, that shows you how you accelerate downfield. But when you're talking about those pass rush guys, those first couple steps put so much pressure on an offensive tackle, especially when the defense is at home and they're having trouble hearing and they're trying to see where the ball's being snapped. Those first couple steps, and Carter has that, really can come off the ball very, very quickly and puts a lot of pressure on those guys. And that, you know, once you have that guy that can beat that tackle, you look at a T.J. Watt, for example, the Steelers, you got to pay attention to him, and now you're keeping somebody in to help a tackle, and that's one less guy that's out in your pass route. So those first steps are really, really critical, and that's probably the thing that everybody looks for first.
Jay Paterno with us. Of course, check out his book, and we had him on about it last time. It's called Blitz, The All-Out Pressure of College Football's New Era. We're going to get to, I guess, what amounts to be a quarterback trade in college football in a little bit. We will do so. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter or X at Jay Paterno, on X and Twitter as well. If you were doing the picking and you were the Cleveland Browns at 2, assuming that Cam Ward is off the board at number 1, which everybody expects, are you taking Abdul Carter with Myles Garrett now back in the fold, or are you taking Travis Hunter?
Well, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at Cleveland's roster enough, but I think, as I mentioned, pass rush is really important. The other thing is, if you have that wideout that can beat you one-on-one or that lockdown corner, that also changes the game for you, because now defense, especially wideout, the defense has got to put two guys on you. Travis Hunter's not a big guy. I mean, I saw him physically. Their off week, he was on game day at Penn State. He's not one of those 6'3 rangy guys. Good size, but not great size. But, you know, if you could partner up, and I'm not going to tell the Browns what to do, because clearly they know exactly what they're doing every year.
It worked 2 years ago, Jay, with 5 quarterbacks. It hasn't worked any other year.
No. But, I mean, all kidding aside, if you have the ability to have two pass rushers like that, now the question is, how much money can you put into those two pass rushers? And I don't know what their salary cap thing is, but that's a good problem to have with both those guys, because both of them are exceptional talents. Now, I'm biased as a Penn State guy. I'm saying take Abdul Carter, because the higher he goes, the better it is for Penn State.
Sure. Before I get to Ty Warren, just kind of capitalizing off of that, James Franklin has had so much success there, and yet, you know, there's the criticism, which there is just when you're a head coach in any level. What do you make out of all that? And what would you describe as the current temperature, if you will, not weather outside, but the current temperature football-wise at State College, being that, well, quite honestly, you've been immersed in it all your life with everything that your dad was?
Well, I think the expectations this season are sky high. They have, they've got the two running backs back, they've got the quarterback back, and for the fan base, that's all you need is a quarterback. Everybody thinks quarterback needs to go out and win everything by themselves, and you got your guy back and puts you out there. I think it's there's no Michigan schedule. I think Michigan will be much better this year, and I think that helps. Oregon probably will not be as good as they were a year ago, because Dylan Gabriel, quarterback, made them different. We play Oregon. At home here, we go to Ohio State. I don't think Ohio State be as good, now that I said that, I probably jinxed it, as they were. So the fan expectation, because of the 12-team playoff, because of the opportunity, even if you were to stub your toe at Ohio State, you still have a chance to win the Big Ten, still have a chance to get into the playoff and go deep like they did last year. Now, what the seeding looks like, certainly the seeding helped Penn State last year, but I think the fans' temperature has really ratcheted up. But look, I was a coach on the staff, and we went 11-1 twice, and everybody complained about the one.
Right, right.
So that's just the nature of fans. And but so much money and has been put into this program. When you talk about James's salary, what he's been paid, and what is left on his contract, and when you talk of facilities, we're at roughly $1 billion. That's billion with a B, that we have put into football to try and get to where we want to get to. So this is the year where it all kind of comes to a head, and the talk is that, you know, national championship or bust. We'll see. And nobody realizes how hard it is to really win the whole thing, but that's the temperature in Happy Valley right now.
I mean, it's not an enviable position. I was going
to
say, exactly, and it's hard. You know, listen, as a coach, and you know this, you try and block it out, but you're a human being.
Yeah.
And you have family, and you have friends, and you have, you know, people that don't necessarily have to block it out, and that maybe relay that to it's just, it's really a no-win situation. All right, that's a good perspective. Jay Paterno with us on the Team 980 here in D.C. All right, Tyler Warren from Penn State as well. Tight end, not as good as Brock Bowers from what I've seen, but had some huge games and certainly is a top-rated prospect. And you know, the top-rated tight end in the class. What do you like about Tyler Warren?
Oh, I think he's just a fun football player. Well, he's immensely talented. Let's start with that physically. Okay, this is a guy that can do so many things. The other thing about him is from a mental standpoint, he did so many things for Penn State last year. I mean, look, it's not often you say about a tight end, if he wasn't on your team, you lose two or three more games. And that's the case with Tyler Warren.
Mm-hmm.
They probably lose at USC if they don't have him. They probably lose another one because he's that good.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that played running back, played wildcat quarterback, punted the ball, threw passes, caught, and you know, he's a guy that just creates all kinds of matchup problems for you in the pass game. But also, if you put him in the backfield, he can pass protect, but also – now you got him on a linebacker one-on-one, and you can hand him the ball. His instincts as a ball carrier are really underrated. I mean, I've watched the guy literally with a guard coming in to kick out somebody, kick out an end, sets the end up by stepping outside and then cutting north and south off that same foot and getting upfield. That's hard to teach, and that comes from the mental, the head from the neck up. He's just such a smart football player. Whoever gets him is going to have a lot of fun putting him all over the place and creating problems once he gets himself established.
Is tight end the position when you watch college football and NFL that it's kind of – we're again talking about the traditional linebacker to edge and the kind of change as we've gone along. Is that the position because of the versatility that you look at that's maybe changed the most on the offensive side?
Well, yeah, I think everybody's looking for that guy that can create matchup problems for linebackers and saying, I'm going to make you cover him with a safety, and you better have a big safety because I'm not a big tight end, or I'm going to make you double him up. Because you can make somebody double him up and have to take care of him, that opens you up on the outside one-on-one. So I think that's what everybody's looking at right now with the tight end position. And if you have that guy that can block and do a bunch of things like Warren can, now not only do you have to double him up, I mean – you got to account for him in a lot of different ways, and it helps you open up the run game. And if you've got a running quarterback, you know, you look at what the Commanders have at quarterback mm-hmm. right now, those guys drive you up a wall, because now if you got to double up a tight end, now that means you can't bring another guy down the box to take care of the quarterback run game. So yeah, those things, the tight ends really open up a lot of things for people.
Of course, you follow other teams and other conferences, but just staying in the Big Ten and some of Penn State's biggest rivalries, Ohio State, Michigan, what have you, is there a guy or two that has really caught your eye that you say, all right, I think that guy's going to be a stud on the next level? Is it Abuka? Is it the corner, What's his first name? Is it Will Johnson? So many names floating around in my
mind. Oh, out of Michigan?
My mind from Michigan, yeah. Is there anybody that you go, man, that dude's going to be a beast?
Oh, I think the wideouts from Ohio State are really, really good. I think the inside defensive tackle from Michigan was really good. I'll tell you one guy that I think can go, will probably, I don't know where he'll go in the draft, but to me might be Russell Wilson, is Dillon Gabriel, Oregon. Mm. I saw him play at Oklahoma 2 years ago, and he had a game-winning drive to beat Texas, and I saw him live. And I was out at Eugene, Oregon, watching him against Ohio State. And I said, he throws a very similar deep ball to Russell Wilson. He's similar in stature, same kind of mobility that'll give you fits. He's not going to run the ball 12, 15 times a game. He'll drive you nuts, though, because when he's on the move, he can find guys down the field. That's a guy that, you know, won't be a first rounder, but later in the draft, everybody forgets Russell Wilson, I think, went in the third round. And Dillon Gabriel's got that kind of work ethic and intelligence from what everybody talks about in terms of studying the game. Mm. But that's a guy that no one's talking about. I think Tez Johnson's come out of Oregon. His speed is ridiculous, having seen him run routes live. But I mean, the Big Ten's just awash in talent right now. There's so many guys that are out there that are not just that are coming out of the draft, but, I mean, you start to look at the next couple of years.
Curious, one more on the Big Ten and Ohio State and just kind of those type teams. And I it's interesting. I didn't think of Dillon Gabriel in that regard, so that's really good insight. But Trevion Henderson is a guy the Commanders have been connected to a lot, yep, and a lot recently. Yet it seemed like he was spelled more down the stretch in Ohio State's run. What do you make of Trevion Henderson on the next level? Is he just a primary pass-catching back, third-down back, or can he do a little bit of like what maybe Bucky Irvin did last year as a fourth-round pick out of Oregon for Tampa?
I've seen him outrun Penn State's defense on the field live, so I know he can play. And I think what Ohio State did a really good job of is using both those guys, understanding that you're looking at a 16 or 17 game season. I think everybody is now starting to evaluate. You know, when I talked to Urban Meyer, you know, he and I talked a bunch, and he talked about the year they won it all when they played 14 games. And he said, Jay, if we had to play 15, 16, 17 games, we wouldn't have made it. But the same token, I've talked to Jim Tressel, who I still talk to, and Jim was in 1AA football for years when they had 16 right. games to win. And every one of them talked about how differently you have to prepare. You have to start in January thinking, we're going to play 16 games. And I think Ryan Day did a good job with both those running backs and saying, we're going to play two guys. And so down the stretch, we're going to always have somebody ready to go healthy, and we're not going to have too many miles on either guy. So I think the thing about Henderson, if you're talking about what he might do for the Commanders, I think that, you know, there's less mileage on him now than there was, and I think that's a plus. But again, he is better of the Ohio State backs. He was the better receiver of the two. He gives you more, you know, he was a really good pass protector. I think he's an all-around back that can really make an impact.
Interesting. Good stuff there. Jay Paterno, our guest, Blitz, the all-out pressure of college football's new era. All right, so before I run out of time here, I got to ask you about this crazy-ass situation between Tennessee and UCLA. Nico, whatever his last name is, goes to UCLA. The UCLA quarterback who had transferred to UCLA just this offseason, didn't even play with them, is now going to Tennessee. I mean, listen, you wrote about, of course, the pressure, and we all know the landscape has changed. Now we're getting quarterback trades after we got a quarterback holdout. Has it even gotten way messier in the last week and a half? Or is this just what we should expect moving forward, and this is kind of becoming the new status quo?
Well, with the revenue-sharing settlement that's probably going to happen soon, July 1 is this kind of drop-dead date where all of a sudden they'll fall under revenue sharing. So you're going to see a lot of people trying to grab as much money as they can before there's a salary cap, so to speak, on July 1. So I don't think it's settled down just yet. But I'm an old-school guy who loves the old model, but I'm also a realist. The reality is, until you have an employer-employee relationship between the school and the players, and you have contracts, and you have a collective bargaining agreement, then you really don't have anything. So I think that's where it's got to end. If you look at the labor market in the NFL, it's much more stable. I think you need contracts that are going to respect the role of the university and the investment they put into players, as well as the players' ability to go and play where they want. So I think that's the only way this settles down. Until that settles down, you're still going to see, the NFL, they don't have unrestricted free agency in terms of if you've got 3 years left in your contract that you can just pick up and say, I'm out and hold out and go jump to another school or another team. So there has to be some regulation of this whole thing. Otherwise, like you said, you're just going to have total chaos.
Right. Excuse me. Just choked on a drink. My bad. Jay, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry for coughing in your ear. I appreciate you.
No problem.
While I gag over here, I'm going to let you run. I appreciate you as always. Thank you for being available. Good information. Enjoy the NFL draft, and I'm sure we'll be talking again as college football gets cranked up.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. That is Jay Paterno, of course, the son of the legendary Joe Paterno. Make sure you get his book out there. Follow him on Twitter or X, at Jay Paterno on X. And good follow there and good information, and especially love a lot of his breakdowns as we get close to the NFL draft. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with part two of our questions of would you rather trade back or take a running back. Yesterday we did cornerback. Today we'll do running back. And we just talked about Trevion Henderson. Would you rather trade back or take a running back at number 29 if you're the Washington Commanders? We'll delve into that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I wonder how one would decide that this is their theme song. I mean, we've got a lot of guys with theme songs.
Wouldn't have been my choice, but it fits Toby, I think.
Yeah, you would want acid breath.
Bath.
Whatever.
It started as a joke, Roost, where years ago we were talking about what your walk-up song would be for baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'd be such a good baseball player, I'm going to walk up to this song saying I'm worth it. Pay me my money, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the tune is catchy, so
you
I
just,
went with it.
You're just kind of stuck with it.
I just went with it.
I thought you were saying that whatever grandiose paycheck you get around here, that you're worth it.
What I get paid, I am worth it, which is minuscule, but yeah.
Okay. It's nice to see you, Toby Altizer.
Good to see you.
I know you just did 4 hours, J.P. Finley on the never-ending vacation plan.
Yeah.
That
I'm not complaining. To be fair, he hasn't taken enough vacation yet that I was the other guy today with B. Mitch. I was the other guy, according to one of our callers. So, haven't quite made it yet.
I mean, listen, you, as I've told you, you have not only grown exponentially in terms of your impact.
And
here,
weight. Oh.
I'm not like that. You've grown exponentially in terms of your impact here. But also your ego has just, like, jumped off the page. You went from
I still have no idea where this is coming from.
Toby, and your ego, your just like the way the aura that you carry yourself with, Tobes, has just gone out of control. We've got to talk about
it. And so
this.
You're trying to get me in check.
Yeah, basically.
A guy that doesn't have an ego and has kept his aura in control. Chris Russell is going to help me out here.
I mean, isn't that the kind of guy I am? I'm always willing to help out the young bucks.
I get some tips from Linnell.
I don't know if you want to do anything Linnell does. Anyway, we'll leave that one alone. All right, so you just got done with 4 hours with B. Mitch and with B. Mitch. And thanks for having me on, by the way.
Absolutely.
Coming up on Thursday night, speaking of Linnell, you and Linnell, I said Denton Day yesterday, my fault on
I think they're
that.
Doing some future, like, day two and day three stuff.
Okay,
so
maybe
not
that,
fully off.
Yeah, maybe that was it. You and Linnell are going to be hosting our first round NFL draft show right here on the Team 980, starting at 8 o'clock after an extended version of Craig Hoffman. See, Craig Hoffman, speaking of making big bucks, they've got to get an extra hour from him, right? Because sometimes he gets, like, these shortened shows, and he gets a little vacation. So they're making him work hard. So you and Linnell are going to start at 8, and you're going to go until 1 a.m. here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. First round, pick-by-pick coverage, and it's going to be a wild one. We were just talking to Jay Paterno, son of the legendary Joe Paterno, college football analyst, author, all that. We were talking about, obviously, of course, again, Cam Ward is going to go number one to Tennessee, but really the draft and the intrigue starts at number two because I don't know at this point if Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter is going to Cleveland, and then either or is going to the Giants, but the drumbeat from all the NFL insiders, the Schragers, the Schefters, whatever, is that the Giants are still seriously considering Shedeur Sanders at 3.
Yeah, you have no idea where this one's going to go, because at least last year, you knew that it was going to be 3 quarterbacks. You knew it was going to be Caleb Williams. You didn't know if it was going to be Jaden or Drake May. We kind of learned leading up to it was probably going to be Jaden, and so you knew Drake May was going 3, so you knew the 1, 2, 3. You have no idea. Once you get past Cam Ward, it can go any number of directions, and it's difficult right now to kind of sift through all the draft rumors and all this stuff because a couple years ago, it was C.J. Stroud's going to fall outside the top 10 and this and that. He went number 2. So Shedeur, he could slip. He could this. Shedeur could just go to the Giants at 3, and who knows how this thing goes, but it could get crazy because, you know, now you're getting some reports today saying that number 2 and number 3, the Browns and the Giants are getting calls about about trades. And, you know, if you're the Chicago Bears and you're sitting there and you say, we want Ashton Jeanty so bad and there's no chance we're going to get him at 10 because either the Jaguars at 5 or the Raiders are going to take him at 6, maybe you're trading up. Maybe someone's trading up because they view Travis Hunter as the greatest football player of this generation. Maybe someone wants that edge rusher. I mean, it could get crazy. And this is one of the crazier ones in my recent memory because you just – outside of number one, you have no idea what's going to happen.
All right, Toby Altizer, Linnell Willingham, 8 o'clock Thursday night right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Full draft one or full round one NFL draft coverage. Of course, the draft in Green Bay, Washington at 29. So question that I asked yesterday was, and a different version I'm going to ask today, is if you're the Commanders and you're at 29, and let's just say it's trade back or take a cornerback, corner. And I gave a bunch of options, you know, the kid from Michigan, couple others. If that was the choice, and again, that's not going to be the only choice, but if that's in Adam Peters, Lance Newmark's mind, that's what it essentially comes down to. A bunch of the edge guys are gone, or you think there's so much depth, whatever. But if it came down cornerback or trade down, which one would you prefer them to do?
I would say trade down, basically, unless it's an edge rusher. But I also don't know the market for a trade down, which is something you have to consider. And I think there are some good corners you can get there. Like, if the kid from Michigan, Will Johnson, slips all the way there, he's someone that was thought to be a top 15 pick. And then he kind of struggled this past season.
Yep.
Testing numbers weren't great. But he's a good football player that maybe didn't have as good a year. Could you consider that maybe? The Maxwell Hairston kid out of Kentucky. I know some people
I don't know if he's a great fit because he plays a lot of zone and they want to play more man.
Yeah, and I think people are going to be scared because you see a little undersized corner, you think Emmanuel Forbes. So I personally would prefer a trade down unless there's an edge rusher that they absolutely love. Mm-hmm. But again, I just don't know, you know, unless there's another quarterback that's going to go in the first round, who's trading up for when we hear this draft, we hear 25 to 75 or whatever numbers you want to pick. They're they're kind of the same caliber player. Then why would I want to trade up for someone?
Would you hate running back at 29 or would you be like, nah?
I wouldn't hate it. I think if you go in like Trevion Henderson, there is probably the name that you're thinking.
Yeah, there's been a lot of smoke around that. I mean, Jay Paterno was just glowing praise.
I think to me, when I'm looking at this offense right now, I think they're a weapon shy. Choose your whatever you want, whether it's a receiver, a speedy receiver, whether it's another tight end that
they
can run
juice.
The seams, whether it's, or a running back that's explosive. Because to me, the thing I picture right now, if you get Trevion Henderson in here, is running a read option with Jaden. They're playing the quarterback because they can't let his legs take over. And Trevion Henderson breaks one tackle and he's gone for a 65-yard touchdown.
And he can absolutely do that. Can he be a bell cow kind of guy, though? Whatever the modern-day bell cow is. Can he even carry it 17 to 20 times if you need him effectively and still be a good receiver and not get beat up?
I don't know. And that's probably the big knock. But at the same point, do I need him to do that?
Yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs isn't carrying the ball 20
times.
That's
fair.
And they have a second good running back in David Montgomery,
yeah.
So you'd need another one. But do you think maybe you could work with that Sonic and Knuckles, so to speak, what they call themselves in Detroit? Could you do that with a Trevion Henderson and a Brian Robinson, or if you want to throw Austin Ekeler still in that mix? I think if they were to get an explosive weapon at the running back position, though, that's the one I would go with because it just gives you much more, where last season was an anomaly. In the second half of the year, they were able to play ball control football without a run game.
Yeah.
That just doesn't really happen.
And you don't want to keep exposing your quarterback to that, which what I said all last year, and people told me I was crazy. And, well, they got away with it for a year. You don't want to keep tempting fate. You want him to be a quarterback.
Exactly.
Not a running back. Not a hybrid weapon. All right. We all understand, you know, some of the temptations of that. You keep saying edge pass rusher. And I agree with you. I wonder, depending on, again, how many guys are available, if they're going to look and say, well, we think we can get one at 61 or with a trade up from 61. If they stay at 29, they maybe go a different position. But say they do 29 and an edge. Is there one guy that you think is going to be there that you like more than the other? Others.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Green is the name that I always come back to, but I don't know that he's going to make it to 29. There's off-the-field stuff kind of dealing with him, but he's an explosive athlete. The names that I think always get thrown around are Ezeraku out of Boston College. I'm intrigued by him, and James Pierce out of Tennessee. And I don't quite understand what's going on with Pierce from Tennessee. The guy can play on the football field.
Right.
People question his off-the-field stuff. And I don't know exactly what it is. I wish there was a way to understand what it is, because in terms of like legal trouble, from what I understand,
don't think it's that.
It's not a lot of legal trouble. It's like a speeding
ticket. It's like motor. It's desire. It's like the burning passion. And that stuff seems, not that that's more worrisome to me than, say, any kind of allegations that, like you said, Mike Green is facing or has faced or has dealt with, but that can be concerning for for this staff.
You get like
which,
Ricky Williams out of it.
Yeah.
Well, you can also get the other side because there's a guy right now playing in the NBA playoffs. Every time I remember this, I think of one guy. It's Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. When he was coming out of the draft, there wasn't a consensus at number one, and people were questioning, does Anthony Edwards love it? And I get that it's a little bit different sports. I get all that. But I think in years past, as soon as you throw up that red flag to me, Rooster, pass. But I think with this culture that they've built in this building, this new leadership, if they decide to go that way, I'm not going to be opposed to it because I think they feel like they can bring the best out of them.
You know, I believe what you're saying in that regard. The thing that makes me worry is now partially because they needed it because they needed body count, but they weren't able to turn around Fedarian Mathis, Emmanuel Forbes, Jamin Davis. You know, like the some of the garbage. Now the difference is they would be choosing this as opposed to inheriting it. But as good as this staff is and as good as this front office is, they weren't able to turn around those guys. Jahan Dotson, another example. Again, they didn't choose them, so that's the obvious caveat. I wonder if it's different because they're choosing a Mike Green or James Pierce, if that's the decision, and, you know.
I think it does have to be a little bit different, right, with choosing. It's similar like if you go into college somewhere, you know, a lot of kids transfer now, but back in the day, like, you had the option.
Wait, kids transfer? They use the transfer portal?
Yeah, all the
time. Have you ever heard of NIL?
Okay. But, you know, back in the day, like, if the coach left, you could transfer, but for a kid that stayed, your role might change.
Right.
You didn't get recruited by this guy. You got recruited by another person who's a little bit different, and their message might be different. What they're asking you to do might be different. The way that they communicate, all those things might be different. So I think it does matter that they're drafting this guy, regardless of who it is.
One more, and then we'll let you get over to Nationals Park. Nationals back home after a 10-game road stand. You know, 2 out of 3 over Colorado. You would have loved for them to get the extra run there. And swept a bad Colorado team, but that didn't happen. The thing I took away most from, I guess, the overall trip, and Coors Field helps. Dylan Cruz, not only the home runs to the opposite field, the hit in the ninth inning on Sunday night where mm-hmm. he went down to virtually one knee and smoked it. That reminded me, okay, why he was considered so special. We know how good he is defensively. We know people hit at Coors Field. That was a really good sign, despite some chilly, chilly weather. To me, that hit in the ninth inning, I don't know if you saw it, going down almost to one knee and not golfing it, but actually driving it, I think in the right center field again, made me go, okay, this is what I came to see. Are you feeling a lot better or just moderately better?
Moderately.
Okay.
You don't want to get carried away because, like you said, it is Coors Field. But at the same point, you'll take anything you can get because it's been a struggle. So I'm interested to see in this homestand where you get 3 against the Orioles, 4 against the Mets, to see if it carries over. He's someone that, to me, is a winning baseball player. And you see him make plays all over the place defensively. You see him make plays on the base pass. He had a run scored in the Rockies series where he steals third, draws a throw from the catcher, who throws it into left field. There's a run score. Like, he's going to force you to make baseball plays, and if you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay for it. And so he's a winning ball player. It's just about getting that bat going and seeing him be able to drive the ball over the wall to right center field. I think the more encouraging thing for me was just every single hit or every time he made contact, it seemed to be over 100 miles an hour in Colorado.
Yeah.
And when he's going well, he's just going to hit the ball hard. Now, is it always going to result in a hit? Probably not. But he's going to live right center to left center. He's going to hit a lot the other way, and he's just going to rip the ball into gaps. He's not a home run hitter.
No.
I think some Nats fans get this wrong idea that he's going to hit 30 home runs. He's not going to do that.
But if he hits 20 home runs and hits 280, 285, somewhere in that range. And
like, you'd be happy if
Gold Glove,
he's not this player, but similar style to what Anthony Rendon was at the plate. If he hits you a home run, you're great, but you're expecting a lot of gappers, a lot of doubles,
a lot of line drives.
And I think, you know, with his athleticism, he's going to be able to create some havoc on the base pass. So
no, I think that's
going to be interesting to watch to see if he can keep it up.
Nothing says late April baseball like a 9-12 Orioles team and a 9-13 Washington Nationals team, eh?
This is going to be a barn burner because you have the worst starting rotation ERA coming to town in the Orioles and the worst bullpen ERA in the bigs in the Nationals.
In other words, Tobes, be expecting to go over in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning tonight. Be expecting to be at the ballpark until, I don't know, about 11 o'clock, 11:15, 11:30. Well, why don't we celebrate and go for midnight? Why don't we do that?
Let's do it.
Tomorrow night, not tonight, tomorrow night, the Orioles and the Nationals right here on the Team 980. Tonight, 106.7 The Fan. That's because tomorrow night, game two of the Eastern Conference quarters, Montreal and Washington on The Fan. So tomorrow night's Orioles-Nationals game will be right here. And again, Thursday night at 8 o'clock, Toby and that other guy. What's his name?
Linnell.
Oh, yeah. Him.
Second youngest in charge.
Yeah, the second, right. We got a lot of youngest in charges. They will be taking center stage, 8 o'clock, and Metal Chris will be here babysitting the two of you.
Yeah.
He's stuck with us.
He's going to have to keep you guys under control.
Got to have an adult in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some wrangling.
Otherwise, he's going to have to put some acid breath on you.
I'll pass on that.
Okay.
Acid bath.
Whatever. Thank you, Tobe.
Always good to chat, man.
Have fun. Appreciate you. That is the great Toby Altizer. Now, we can't say that too often because it really has gone to his head. His ego is just out of control since he became the third leg on the Grant and Danny show. And really, J.P. Finley's replacement on B. Mitch and Finley. But we can occasionally stay and refer to him as great. I think we're okay. I don't think it's that big of a problem.
We got the great eight in this town. Now we got the great Toby.
Doesn't really exactly have the same alliteration, but we gotta figure out something. Let's take a break so we can think of something to say. All right, we'll come back. Ask you, running back or a trade down for the Commanders next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
All right, good to have you with us. Thanks to the sort of youngest in charge, Toby Altizer. Linnell Willingham's working over in the other studio, and as I left to come back over here, I said it was really good to have the real youngest in charge in studio with me. I do not think that went over well. Maybe
I'll get him to arm wrestle for the title on Thursday.
Yeah,
night.
There you go. So you're stuck with those two babysitting them in romper room for 5 hours, 8 to 1 a.m. On Thursday night into Friday morning. We don't even know if the Commanders are going to make a pick in the first round. Right now, again, they're scheduled at 29. On Friday night, we'll have the Mets-Nationals game here on Team 980, as we will Wednesday night Orioles-Nationals. On YouTube, only from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And again, I'm not sure if they're going to have the third round complete at this point, but maybe. Denton and Linnell will be on YouTube. So that's the deal in terms of all of that. By the way, again, I keep forgetting to mention we're so busy. Saturday morning, join Sam Cosmi, myself, and the whole entire Best Buddies family on the National Mall. for our friendship walk. It's an awesome event. Please go sign up, bestbuddiesfriendshipwalk.org. Go to the Team 980 page where you can donate. We really, 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 really need your support. So many of you go out to lunch every day, buy your foo-foo coffees, and I buy Dunkin' Donuts way too often, so I understand. But you buy your foo-foo coffees, we could use anything you've got, $10, $5, $20, whatever it is. Be a superstar, $50, $75. My guy Kevin Banks, who is just such a good dude, got to catch up with him last night, has made a donation to Best Buddies. Athan has helped out so many different ways, not only with a donation, but also in terms of rallying the cause and promoting it and all of that. BestBuddiesFriendshipWalk.org. Go to the Team 980 page. Make a donation on behalf of the Team 980 to the Best Buddies and help out people and families with IDD. You can sign up, register. You can walk up and register. We're on the National Mall right around Madison and 7th. And you'll see everybody out there. It's easy. So you can register, you can meet Sam Cosmi, get an autograph, pictures, all that good stuff as he recovers from a torn ACL. So make sure you join us on Saturday morning, this Saturday morning, day three of the NFL draft. All right. Speaking of Athan, let's squeeze him in here before the top of the hour. What's up, Double A? How are you?
I'm good, and I'm glad that the Caps found a way to win last night. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of going to be the tale of what it's going to be like for a while until they get some Protus back and whoever else is lingering out there. It was kind of like reminded me the way they played in the first period, like being up like 6-3 at halftime. Like you had all these chances to score and, you know, only got the one goal at the end of the first period. So, yeah, they did blow it at the end. They pretty much got blown off the ice after the third period. But I am glad that at the end of the day, a win is a win, and they found a way to win. And that's what they're going to have to do the rest of the playoffs. Guys are going to have to step up like Stromer and others that don't have a lot of playoff experience and make up the difference for what we lost in injuries, you know, with other people.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're already down Protus right now, and who knows when exactly he's coming back and what kind of shape, quite honestly, he'll be in, what kind of impact he can make. 5-on-5 penalty kill. They might limit him, you know, off of the penalty kill at first, and we'll have to see. They've already, again, lost Ferravari. I assume Alexiev will play tomorrow night, even though he had major dental work on that play that we talked about earlier. And Logan looked sharp last night for the first 2.5 periods, but not as good on that second goal. So, you know, you got to hope that nobody else gets injured, and you got to hope that, again, even though they put pressure on and sometimes the puck just doesn't bounce your way, that if you control a game for the first 50 minutes, that you're up more than 2-0.
Yep, has to be better. It should have been 3 or 4-0.
Yep.
And real quick about the draft, Chris, I think they've fallen in love with Trevion Henderson. I think if they don't trade back, that's my pick now for who they take. I'm still an Omarion Hampton fan, but I think they're in love with Henderson. And if they don't trade down, that's where they go.
Hmm. It seems like there's a lot of Trevion Henderson love in the last couple of days. And I would say this, for me, I like the idea of taking a running back and getting a young running back with speed and juice. I don't know if say Omarion Hampton, Trevion Henderson, and Quinshon Judkins are all out there at 29, to me, I think that's a little bit of a reach. I think I would like to trade back. I wouldn't be mad at all if they took one of those guys because they're trying to add juice and a little bit of pop and a little bit of sizzle to the offense. Some people are going to say, well, you know, only if pass rush, defensive end, whatever. I don't think this is a draft where you say, well, we have to take this if this is available, because what if the guys that are available at this aren't the guys that you love the most? Then does it make sense to just draft this? So that's where, again, the trade down thing comes in, or that's where another position comes in. And I'm surprised. I've heard some people say, you know, I heard Kevin Sheehan, Nick Javala say, you know, wouldn't take a running back or a wide receiver in the first round. Not that, again, that would be my first choice, but I wouldn't have as big of a problem with that as seemingly they would, and maybe some others. I just wouldn't.
Well, so. I think that, that this coming year, they have so many holes defensively. Yeah, I think their best defense is going to be their offense again, and what they can get out of their offense and kind of outscoring other teams. I don't see them getting enough defensively in this draft or what's left in free agency to make up for the holes they have at speed, at linebacker, the athleticism on the defensive end that they lack and things like that.
Yeah. You're the man, Double A. Appreciate you as always, brother. Tyler,
buddy.
Tyler says hi. That is my guy, Double A, who is just a saint, not only for helping me out with Best Buddies, which he's doing a tremendous job. Chris, did you know this? Double A spends time with Tyler on the phone every day. Every day. They're like best friends.
I had no idea.
Yeah, they're like best friends. They just choke around with each other, and Double A threatens to give him a mohawk and to set him up with all the ladies and all that stuff. I mean, it's just great. Just salt of the earth.
Chicks,
I mean,
just mohawks.
You know, met at a wrestling event last June and have become lifelong BFFs.
That's awesome.
Can't thank Double A enough for being good to my kid. And I appreciate it. All right, 301-230-0980. Coming up next, Adam Peters and Lance Newmark expected to speak at Command Land in Ashburn. We'll bring you some of it. See what the general manager and AGM has to say from the Commanders on the eve of the NFL draft.